God's care and continuance of His church. Church History Told to Young and Old by John Fruchtenhill. As a companion to the Bible history. After the Bible history was completed, it seemed desirable to me to continue with the writing of the church history. In general, the church history is not so well known, yet this is also important. Indeed, the leading of God with His church does not cease with the Acts of the Apostles. On the contrary, it continues right on. The severe struggle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent after the completion of the revelation of salvation continues unabated with undiminished intensity. That reflects itself clearly in the history of God's church upon earth. The golden thread of God's government runs also through this history. God Himself maintains His church. His mighty arm sustained her during the heat of persecution. When the tidal wave of error endeavored to sweep her away, then God caused her to appear triumphantly. If that had not been the case, then the Church of God would have been swept from off the earth long ago. He is and remains the King of His Church, and the promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against her remains in force. I have tried to deal with the church history in the same manner as the Bible history, that is, in simple stories suitable for children from 10 to 12 years of age, and also for older ones. It is impossible to tell everything that has taken place, for then, in a manner of speaking, the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. It has been endeavored to hold to the broad outline. May this work serve to increase the knowledge of God's dealings with His church. May He make it a blessing, so that thereby His name may be glorified. The Author. Introduction. The Church History. When it is Sunday, then we go to church, do we not? When we then walk the street, we see many more people who also go to church. It is the custom in many places to toll the bell. At times, we do not hear only one, but various bells are tolled. Real pleasant. One part of the people go to this church, and yonder is another church, of which the doors also stand wide open. Oh, there are so many churches. We walk past 2, 3 churches, and then finally we arrive at our church, where we belong, where father and mother, where brothers and sisters, where we ourselves always attend. It seems quite common that there are so many different churches. Yes, we just think it should be that way. Finally, the stream of people that go to church becomes less. A single latecomer yet. Then they are all inside, and it becomes quiet on the street. Everywhere the church doors are closed. From the various buildings, solemn psalm singing resounds. Certainly, today there are thousands of people that won't have anything to do with church. They use Sunday, the Lord's Day, for all sorts of pleasure trips, or for sports and games. That is bad enough. God's day is profaned by all those people, but that is no longer considered. But yet, in almost all cities and villages, we see at the set time many people still go to church. That is the picture which we can see everywhere on Sunday morning. Now we shall begin to tell you the church's history. The Bible histories are known to us. We hear them told at school, and at the Sunday school. Sometimes the minister preaches about a well-known Bible story. How interesting are those Bible stories? We have heard them so often already, yet each time we listen attentively to them. Those nice stories do not tire us. Well then, the church history contains many nice stories too. It is a pity that by far the stories from the church history are not as well known as the Bible stories. And yet those stories from the church history shall also be listened to with intensity. We shall hear the terrible stories about persecutions, about stakes, but at times also, for example, about the mission and others. Now we shall try to tell those stories. They are the stories about the church. Perhaps some would ask, which church are you going to tell about? There are so many churches. Yes, that is true. There are so many churches. And yet, in spite of all the churches which are in America, yea, throughout the whole world, there is but one church, and that is the living church. The living church? What is that? Listen. Have we ever been on a threshing floor? If so, then we have seen a farmer threshing. Well then, on the threshing floor we find chaff and wheat. The chaff is eventually gathered together and burned, but the wheat is put away in the barn. That is only a figure, but by this we shall better understand the following. We find two sorts of people in the church: the converted and the unconverted people. With the living church, we mean the converted people, God's people. We read in our catechism that God gathers out of the entire human race a congregation unto himself. That means he gathers a church unto himself, a church which has been chosen unto eternal life. But, as there is chaff and wheat on the threshing floor, there is likewise chaff and wheat in the church. That means, in the church there are converted and unconverted people. There have always been converted people upon earth, and there are still converted people, and of such there shall be unto the last day of the world. Many of God's children are no longer alive. They have died. Their bodies are resting in the earth until the day of resurrection, but their souls rejoice before God's throne. No strife, no trouble, and no sorrow is there. There they sing forever to the glory of God. They are above the strife. That part of the living church which is in heaven we call the church triumphant. But there are also converted people who at present are still alive. Perhaps you know a few, isn't that so? Perhaps even father or mother, grandfather or grandmother. They are not yet above the strife. They still live in the midst of the conflict. That means to say, they still live in the world, a world full of trouble, care, and sorrow. They still have to fight against sin, the devil, and their own evil and depraved heart. Well then, that part of the living church which is still upon earth, we call the church militant. However, do not forget that the church triumphant in heaven and the church militant upon earth together constitute one church, the living church. But like there is chaff and wheat on a threshing floor, so is also the church militant upon earth mixed with the chaff of the unconverted people. At death, Already the chaff is separated from the wheat. That means at death, all unconverted people go to eternal destruction, but the converted people go to eternal glory. However, then, that concerns only their souls. But when once the day of judgment is there, then all shall arise. But then the eternal separation shall take place between the chaff and the wheat, between those that did serve God and those that did not fear and serve God. The Lord Jesus meant that too, when he related the parable of the tares in the field. That parable is sufficiently known. When harvest time arrived, that wheat was put into the garner, but the tares were burned with unquenchable fire. The Lord Jesus meant with that, God's people shall then be taken up with body and soul into heaven, while the unconverted people shall then be cast away with body and soul into eternal death. Well then, we will now tell you about that church militant. Where shall we begin with our church history? Ah, that is not difficult. Adam and Eve, Abel, who was slain by his brother Cain, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all belonged to the living church, to God's people, and thus there are more which could be mentioned, isn't that so? Moses, Samuel, David, Elijah, Daniel. Ah, let me just stop here, because there are so many that I cannot mention them all. Perhaps it shall be asked wonderingly, but that is Bible history, is it not? Correct. That is true. And for that reason I do not begin with Adam and Eve, for that we hear in the Bible stories. No, we must really begin with the story of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and when upon that day 3,000 people were converted. Oh? Why just there? Well, before that time, the church was really only with the Jewish people. God sent his prophets among that people. The priests were there. For centuries, the service of the Lord was there. First, the tabernacle stood at Shiloh. Later, the temple stood at Jerusalem. Oh yes, once in a while Gentiles were converted. Just think of Rahab the harlot, of Ruth the Moabitess, of Naaman the Syrian. But the service of the Lord was found only among the Jewish people. God had given his laws and precepts to that people. All the other nations were heathens that were sunk in idolatry. The promises of God rested upon that people. One day the Messiah would be born of that people. And those promises were fulfilled at God's time. The Lord Jesus has been born. He was born in Bethlehem in a stable for cattle. He, the eternal Son of God, descended voluntarily upon this sin-cursed world. He died the cursed death upon the cross to save his people. He bore the wrath of God against sin in order to deliver his people forever from the wrath of God. But after the day of Pentecost, the Church of God was spread abroad over the whole earth. From now on, the gospel would not only be proclaimed among the Jews, but also among the Gentiles. The Jewish people had rejected Christ by hanging him upon that cross of curse and shame. Now the time had come that God would also give his word to the Gentiles. Noah had said, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Now the time had come that that prophecy would be fulfilled. After Pentecost, many, many Gentiles were converted by God. Millions of people, also from among the Gentiles, men, women, and children, and gray-headed ones, shall by faith embrace the Lord Jesus as their surety and Savior. Millions and more millions from among the Gentiles shall by God's Spirit from death be made alive. For that reason, we begin our church history just at Pentecost. At that time, the great change came. Then, at that time, God removed the wall which stood between Jews and Gentiles.